So excited to have my good friend Adam Kanakin back on the show. He is the host and creator of the very successful Tactical Breakdown podcast. He's also the director of the International Law Enforcement Training Summit. You do not want to miss this great show. Next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. So glad you're here. That's why we continue to grow. You're sharing it with your family and friends. We appreciate it so much here at the show. If you give us that 5-star rating on iTunes, we sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field in these very uncertain times. Thank you for the hard work you're doing every day, putting it all on the line, going out there serving. Again, in these uncertain circumstances, remember, don't believe all the crap you see in some news outlets and some other morons are saying about you. You have much support. Millions and millions of people support you. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Thank you for your hard work. Oh, man, here at the show, we are so honored to be partnered with Detecticam. This amazing company is protecting our brave men and women who protect us every day by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of their hands, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, even now, COVID-19. If you haven't heard of Detecticam, you need to check them out. Again, I wish I had this technology when I was a young officer. You can check out their link on cjevolution.com. Again, cjevolution.com, and see how Detecticam can help keep your troops safer. Folks, if there's one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powerful over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. But there are two big problems here. Number one, magnesium has been largely missing from U.S. soil since the 1950s, which explains why it's estimated that up to 80% of the population may be deficient. And most supplements contain only one or two forms of magnesium, when in reality, there are at least seven that your body needs and benefits from. If you take this latter fact into consideration, it's not logical to conclude that 99% of the population is likely deficient in two or more essential forms of magnesium. Now, the good news is that when you do get all seven critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded, from your brain to your sleep, pain, and inflammation. It all improves, and fast. Trust me, I know. That's why I'm excited about what my friends over at Bioptimizers, makers of industry-leading digestive supplements, have just created. Their research team recently formulated what I believe is the ultimate magnesium supplement. Easily the best I've ever seen or experienced with all seven forms of this mineral. They even include trace amounts of something called monoatomic magnesium, which helps make all other forms bioavailable. This is by far the most complete magnesium product ever created. And until or unless someone comes out with a better one, I highly recommend you give it a try. Bioptimizers calls this product Magnesium Breakthrough. And they're running a special promotion for you at www.magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution. That's magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution. You can get an additional 10% off the normal package price using the coupon code CJE10. And here's the deal. The guys who make it are so confident you're going to like it that they'll give you all a money-back guarantee if you don't. With this one simple action, you can reverse magnesium deficiency in all its forms and upgrade the performance of your body, including how you look and feel, in every possible way. Make sure to go to this special website because it's the only place for you to get access to this amazing discount. Again, this Magnesium Breakthrough promotion is only while quantities last at www.magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution. Again, that's magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution. On to the show with the one and only Adam Kanakin. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to have my good friend, Adam Kanakin, back on the show. He has his own kick-ass podcast called the Tactical Breakdown Podcast. He's also the director of the hugely successful International Law Enforcement Training Summit that ran from the 27th to 31st of July. Yours truly was on it, along with so many other great speakers and presenters. Huge success. Adam's going to talk about it. What's up, brother?
What's good, my man?
Oh, man.
Happy to be here. This is awesome.
Thank you for having coming back on the show. As I just said, talk about the International Law Enforcement Training Summit. Now, I know we talked about, I think we hit on it last time you were on the show, but it is a huge success, dude. We were just talking about it. Talk about it again.
Yeah, it kind of blew up, man. It blew up.
An understatement.
So, So, the International Law Enforcement Training Summit, what this was essentially a week-long summit that we put on for free online. So if you can imagine a training conference that you would go to, and this was designed for law enforcement, but we also had attendees from corrections, sheriffs, other criminal justice specialties. We had some security officers, close protection, some military people in there. And it really was a way for us to get training out to people that need it, that don't have training right now, because everything got shut down. And you know this, you were one of the first persons that I talked to about this. And I said, hey, this is my idea. Would you be up for it? And you're like, shit, yeah, I'm in. And so what people don't know this, fun fact for everybody, the actual episode, the session that you and I recorded was the very first session that we recorded for the summit.
Yes. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, which was really cool. And man, I didn't even know what I was doing at that point. but it kind of rolled off from there, you know. And the funniest thing about this summit was when we told people it was free, the amount of skepticism that we received, and it wasn't just me, it was all of the speakers. Everybody who put it out there was like, hey, we have this free summit, and we have Pat Fitzgibbons, and we have Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, and we have Tony Blauer, and Tim Kennedy, and Jamie Borden, and Brian Willis, and all of these massive, massive world-leading trainers. And people are like, what's the catch?
How much do I have to pay?
what's the catch here? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get screwed in some way, shape, or form. And it's funny. It sucks in a way, because it really precluded a lot of people from actually jumping on board and checking it out. But at the end of the day, I think now everybody knows, like, hey, you know, we weren't joking. Like, this thing was actually for legit. Free. We had, altogether, we had over 12,000 officers from around the world attend. It was over 75 countries. So all six continents, all six inhabited continents. And, you know, it was interesting. I mean, all of the major centers that you would think were involved with this. But we had massive, like, for example, Kenya, we had 40 plus people that were from Kenya that
amazing
jumped off, just random things like that. And obviously major set, obviously US and Canada were the largest, followed by Australia and the United Kingdom. But I mean, Germany, Italy, France, Spain, Brazil, like I said, Kenya, we had some from Hong Kong, South Korea. It was absolutely astronomical. The amount of people that jumped on board with this and the support we got back. And here's the thing with the summit was, even though it was free for the week, we've also offered this all access pass so that, I mean, there was so much content. People were frustrated that they couldn't get through all of it on the free portion of it. And we offered this all access pass that gives people lifetime access to all of the training. Cause man, we put together over 75 hours of training content worth probably like $8,000 or $9,000. And so we put that out there and our sponsors subsidized it. And so we got it out there very, very cheaply. And then all of that money that came in, all of it went to charity. So
it's so awesome.
We raised over $15,000 for charity. And that went to Copline. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with Copline, they're a crisis line for law enforcement. It's all staffed by former law enforcement and they're completely independent. So they don't take any government funding or grants, so that they can remain completely anonymous. So they don't have to share any stats or any contact information with anybody when people call in, which is actually pretty typical, even for crisis lines. If they're funded by the government, they actually have to give statistics on things, and they didn't want to do that. So they're only privately funded, which is one of the reasons why I thought, like, hey, this is a good place to send this, send these funds and support these guys. So yeah, long story short, massive buy-in on the summit, and it's still going strong. We have so many agencies that are jumping on board that a few members were part of the summit. They saw the value in it, and now we're actually giving the agency complete access to all the training, so they can use it for in-service. They can use it for continuing education, and then we're going to be issuing certificates so that they can actually get credits for it for their state. So lots of stuff, man. It's crazy.
Now, if it's just a massive undertaking, I remember when we were talking about this, and it was like, holy shit, I mean, Adam's going to do this. And we were talking about it before, just a massive success, a collaborative effort, a lot of people helping you with this, but I'm just so glad, brother, that I saw all the stuff that was going on social media and all the shares and the likes, and it just truly is amazing. So for the listener out there who wants to gain access to all these speakers, all these people that were part of the summit, how can they do that right now?
Yeah, well, right now we're in the process of going through it. I don't know when this episode is going to come out exactly, but it's
going to come out soon.
Yeah, it should be set up on the homepage at iletsummit.com.
Okay.
So iletsummit.com, we'll have a new homepage up there that'll kind of guide everybody, give you some information about what it is, and then how to get access to it. And that'll be for individuals. So if you're an individual that wants access to all the training, you can go on that. If you're an agency, click through the agency partner portal and send us your information, and then we can handle that. The beautiful thing about the agency partnerships that we have is it's subsidized by our sponsors. So it's literally pennies on the dollar to get your entire agency access. And the reason we did that was, as you and I were talking before, and when we set this whole summit up, it's to get this training into the hands of as many people as possible. It's information, it's context, it's things that people need right now that can actually save their life on patrol, on the street. You know, there's so much stuff about mental health and well-being. There's so much stuff about resiliency, about situational awareness. You know, the biggest part about this summit that I think was funniest when we got the feedback on it was, why didn't you have more tactical training stuff on it? And I'm like, you know what, man? If you listened to, for example, I did that episode with Tim Kennedy, right? And everyone was kind of like, a lot of the feedback was, you know, I wasn't expecting that from Tim Kennedy, because we literally talked about situational awareness. And what people fail to realize is, as much fun as the high speed stuff is to train and do, that's really not the most important aspect of the training.
No.
It's understanding the why behind it. It's understanding the context of, how do I put myself in the most tactically advantageous position so that I don't have to go balls to the wall and do all this technical stuff. I can maybe even avoid a conflict altogether by being smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we really want to push, right? We don't have agencies right now, we don't have the time, we don't have the training time, we don't have the budgets.
Yeah.
So why does it make sense for us to show you all of this high speed training that you're never going to be able to go and practice, at least not to the level of proficiency?
Mm-hmm.
So let's give you something that you can actually absorb in a couple hours and then take it and use that. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense when somebody says, well, why couldn't you do 2 hours of like stuff on the range? Well, listen, man, unless you're very proficient at firearms as an instructor or as a shooter, you're not going to understand and how to conceptualize a concept that you hear or watch on a video and then take it and then transfer it to a practical skill.
Absolutely.
So that's the other thing too, is we have to be smart about what kind of content we put into the summit so that people could absorb it, so that it wasn't over their head or just completely useless. So it wasn't just, oh, that looks cool. Listen, man, if you want to watch something cool, go to YouTube. Google it. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this was to deliver actionable, useful training. And I think we accomplished that.
Any training I've ever been at, you always, that aren't, you know, every training I've been to that isn't focused on tactical or, you know, tactics or shooting or anything like that, I mean, people have always said, why didn't you hit that? You know, why didn't you hit the tactical aspect of it? And I agree with you 100%. It's so hard to teach that through a video. You can't, you know, but it was a great summit, brother. Talk about next steps. I know you were talking a little bit without giving away all the secrets, but there's going to be another one of these, right?
Yeah. You know me, I'm cool. Just, I tell everybody everything. I think that's the way to go. Listen, man, there's no secrets here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just before I answer your question here, as a little fun fact for you and for everybody. So obviously, like you had said, we spent all the sponsor money went towards like advertising this summit, right? And getting it out there on social media and everywhere. And so with that, obviously we can't directly target only police officers on social media. It doesn't work like that. We can get close, but there's always those outliers. And so we got a lot of feedback on social media back from the general public. And a lot of the comments were really funny. Like, I mean, I considered them funny. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't, but you know, the very first one I got back was an ad we put out. It was like, get your free ticket to the summit. And then the very first comment that came back for the whole thing was, the only free ticket you're going to get is a speeding ticket, which I thought was funny. And then the next thing that comes up is, it was a lot of, what are you going to teach officers how to kill someone and get away with it? Or, you know, New World Order, like join the Gestapo and all this, geez, all of these other things. And so what I did was I made a very conscious effort, and I really want everybody listening to this to really take this to heart and understand why I did this. I reached out to every single person that I could that left those comments. And in one way, shape or form, I said something like this, you know, hey, Bob, I understand your cynicism. I get it. I understand that you're angry with police. Here's what I'd like to do for you. I'd like to offer you a free ticket to attend this summit, and you can actually see what kind of training we're giving police officers. There's nothing that we teach officers that's a secret. It's, everybody seems to think that we bring everybody down into the basement and tell them a bunch of stuff and then say, don't share it with anybody. That's not the case. Right? You want to know,
transparent as hell.
Exactly. And so, you know, obviously there's certain things we don't cover or don't teach, right? We can't talk about you know, certain tactical operational things or trade craft or things like that. But I mean, for the majority of it, 95%+, it's open to the public.
Yeah.
And so I said, listen, why don't you come and take a look? And then if you have questions, ask me or ask the experts. We're happy to answer your questions for you. One or two people took advantage of it. The other 500 or so did not. But after I said that, they pretty much shut up and never commented again. And I really think that's where we have to go as a profession is, let's take that transparency, but be extremely overt about it.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask questions or make these cynical comments, don't get upset with them. Say, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I would be frustrated if I didn't know what was happening either. So if you're interested, let me sit down and walk you through it or answer your questions.
Yeah.
You know, is that something that everybody wants to do? No.
But, well, it's easier, like you alluded to, Adam, to snap back with, you know, hey, F you, or, you know, or, yeah. But I love your approach, because, and I agree with you 100%, education, man, that's what it's about. Hey, we'd love to have you come to this summit free of charge, and you can see what we're teaching our officers. And usually, like you said, I mean, that's enough to kind of shut people down, you know, instead of going back and forth with, you know, hey, screw you, no, screw you kind of thing, which is happening right now, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, with the current geopolitical climate, it's, you know, it's everyone here is in an uphill battle right now, and it can be frustrating, but this is the job that everybody's trained for, right? Like, you can go to a call and be dealing with a domestic and sit there for 30 minutes trying to calm these people down so you don't have to go through it and go through with those arrests so that you can just leave them be and move on. If you can do that, why can't you take 5 minutes and talk to somebody who's yelling at you on the street?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so anyway, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole on that too much, but that was just a point I wanted to make, because I was very open with and transparent with what we were doing with the summit. And if the general public wanted to attend, I invited them to do so, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people understanding what we're actually training officers, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, to answer your original question of what's coming next. Well, obviously we've proven the model here on the summit. And so I can guarantee, and this, I guess this is going to be the first interview that I do where I actually say this out to everybody, but we're going to be moving on with the 2021 International Law Enforcement Training Summit. So that's definitely going to be taking place next year. We're going to start the planning on that probably pretty soon, because we want to make sure that we take into account all of the feedback we've gotten. We've sent out a survey to everybody who attended, and for those that got that back to us, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take all of those comments and concerns, and we're going to put them in, and we're going to brainstorm on how to make this thing 10 times better next year. And then with that, we also have a plan to do individual summits for very specific topics. So for example, coming up later this year, the first one that we want to do is on search and rescue. Mm-hmm. For anybody who attended the summit, you'll see that there was about four sessions that were specific to search and rescue. So we're teaming up with NASAR. So NASAR and then the four subject matter experts that we had on the summit and a whole bunch more from around the world. And we're going to run one specifically on search and rescue. So that's going to be coming up soon. Then a whole bunch of other little ones coming down the pipe. But the other thing that I want to let everybody know about is with this ILET summit, one of the concerns was, well, I didn't get a chance to ask that instructor any questions, right? I didn't get a chance. You know, Pat was talking about leadership and your circle of influence. I never got to ask him any questions. So I have all these questions. Well, what we're going to do is, over the next couple of weeks in August, we're going to be hosting live Q&As and live roundtables with the speakers from the summit. So for everybody who has the all access pass, which we can talk about at kind of at the end of this, but
sure.
Everybody who has all the all access pass, they can join in live for these Q&As and roundtables. And if you watched an episode, if you watched the session with Pat, or you watched the episode with Tony, or you watched it with Brian, and you want to come on and ask them questions, that's going to be your chance. It's going to be a very limited group, and you're going to get the chance to ask these instructors directly your questions from either their session or just a question that you had for them in general. So that's something really cool that no one's ever been able to do before. And we're hopefully going to be able to facilitate that here on the summit.
That's awesome, brother. Now I'm going to ask you about all access pass in a little bit. I want to talk really quick about kind of shifting gears, Adam, and talk about the amazing podcast. Tactical Breakdown Podcast.
Sure. Not as amazing as yours.
Well, but it is a great show. And I know you've been busy with the summit, but talk about the show, because it really is. And you went back to the people who are tactical, live and breathe tactical. I mean, that's the show to listen to.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. I think I brought this up last time. It's, you know, I don't know if I just made a hasty error in naming that Tactical Breakdown, but it's funny because a lot of the stuff we talk about isn't necessarily like just mm-hmm. tactics.
So there's different versions of tactical.
Correct. Yeah. Actually, on the website, I have it broken down as the definitions of tactical and breakdown,
mm-hmm.
And kind of the double entendre behind the naming of it. But essentially, that's, you know, I know you're the number one podcast for criminal justice in the world. So I like to say I'm the number one podcast for police training in the world. A little bit of a subsection of what you're doing. And the reason is really we built that out around, just like we did with the summit. It's, I want to give people access to the best instructors and trainers in the world and hear what they have to say about certain topics, about their specialties. And then we also mixed in some fun stuff in there, right? Like the last episode that we just released was with Steve Murphy and Javier Pena.
Oh, yeah. Guys who hunted down Pablo.
Yeah, so exactly. So if anybody here is familiar with the Netflix series Narcos, those two main characters are the exact people, Steve and Javier, that were actually DEA agents. So
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting. So I got their take on everything and the current state of the drug trade and all those things. But so we have some of those episodes in there. And then we have a lot of people like yourself that have just been on the podcast that we just talk about your area of expertise, right? And
yeah.
it's it's really cool. We have probably 15 episodes in the can that are going to be coming out. And we're also going to roll out little snippets of the sessions from the summit. So if for whatever reason you're unable to attend the summit or buy into the all access, you'll be able to still get little bits and pieces here and there on the podcast. So lots of stuff coming down the pipe with that. So I appreciate you letting me talk about it.
Now, hitting on law enforcement and you know, all the talk a lot before we started about all the challenges, brother. I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's just such a broad question, but I ask you anyway. I mean, what do you think some of the biggest, and I know you're in Canada, for those who don't know, Adam's in Canada, and you know, I'm in the States, but from your perspective, you got a lot of experience, and just for people, I mean, Adam's a former infantry officer with the Canadian Armed Forces, got a ton of experience. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges, you know, law enforcement is dealing with right now and what we're going to face in the future?
Yeah, like you said, that's a tough question. There's so many things that are really overlapping right now. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for people to pinpoint, like, really what's the biggest pain point for people? Is it COVID-19, right? Is it this?
Wait, what's COVID-19? I never heard of it.
from what I see from the news in the US, I think you're probably partially correct on that. No, I'm only kidding. But the between that and the, you know, all of the climate around what happened with George Floyd, mm-hmm. and the Black Lives Matter movement and the subsequent protests and the subsequent anti-police rhetoric, the defund the police, or disband the police, depending on where you are. And all of that, like, the number one thing that I personally, and this was one of the key talking points of the summit, is officer mental health. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're giving enough support to our officers right now. I think, you know, you see it all around the United States right now. Agencies having officers retiring in droves.
Oh yeah.
Agencies putting a cap on the amount of people that are allowed to retire. They're saying, no, you can't. People that are going on stress leave, on PTSD, due to PTSD, or they're taking the rest of their leave, or they're taking unpaid leave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, in certain states, you have people that are reaching out to other areas of the United States saying, hey, do you guys have a spot open? I want to move. I think the underlying thing on this that people have to realize is we're at the beginning of a massive mental health crisis for our law enforcement. And I don't think we can bring enough attention to it. I think we need to, I want to shout it from the mountaintops every time I get the chance, is that mm-hmm. if you're an officer right now and you don't feel supported by your government, if you don't feel supported by your agency, by your chief, right, by anybody, by your family, by your friends, right? That's the thing. That's the unprecedented part of what we're going through right now, is that it's usually just one or the other. It's not everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, you go home and there's your neighborhood associations saying you have to take down your blue line, the thin blue line flag on your front porch because it offends people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're getting it from every angle. Like, where's your outlet? Right.
Yeah.
Now, for most of us that have gone to work, worn a uniform, or done whatever, you have your time when you're on duty and you're good to go. Usually you slip into that zone. Okay, I'm at work, I can handle this, we're good to go. But you need that time to decompress. What this whole pandemic has done is it's taken that option away from a lot of people, right? I can't go, if up here in Canada, I can't go to the rink and play pickup hockey with my buddies because everything's shut down, mm-hmm. right? I can't go play basketball. I can't go and go to the park with my buddies. I can't go out for a beer. Right? Like, we've taken away all of the social aspects that we rely on in this profession, that let's have a beer after shift, sit down, talk about the bad shit, make some jokes, work it out that way, go home, decompress, go to sleep, get up, do it again. Mm-hmm. We've taken that option away from people. Not that we've taken it away, but it's just unavailable right now. Mm-hmm. So where do you think we're going to do with all of that pent up stress and aggression? Like, do you think that's going to help us make smarter, better decisions on the road?
Yeah.
I would argue probably not.
Yeah.
And then it's, what is it? Like, it's a giant snowball at that point. right? It's not, is this officer going to break? It's going to be when, and is it going to be against themselves or is it going to be against somebody else? And so that's the thing that I really think we need to be focusing on, is making sure that our officers are taken care of. And even if it's something as simple as you listening to this podcast right now, and I'm telling each and every one of you, like, if you need somebody to just talk to just listen, just contact me. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot me an email, call me, text me, whatever. I'm here. And listen, I'm not a mental health professional and I'm not claiming to be. And if I think so, I may tell you to, like, hey, you need to call somebody else, but you need an outlet, right? And if you have a partner or a colleague that's in a bad spot, you know, we talk about buddy checks all the time when we talk, you know, if we're talking T-Tri-C or, you know, combat casualty care. After a firefight, the first thing I'm doing is I'm checking myself and I'm checking my buddy. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do that for mental health, right? We just went to a call, a sudden death of an infant, right? Not too many people in the world can shake that one off and just walk right back into shift. So check on myself. Am I doing okay? Nope. Okay, maybe I need to talk to somebody, right? Okay, I'm feeling okay, but maybe I should check on my partner. Hey, man, how you feeling? Man, that messed me up. Cool, you want to talk about it? Or do you feel comfortable going back to work? And we have to get rid of that stigma that if I go to my sergeant, if I go to my commanding officer and I say, hey, you know, Sarge, hey, sir, I'm in a rough spot after that. I need to maybe just go take some time. We have to accept that as a reality of the job and stop sweeping it under the rug saying, you're fine, get back on patrol. And so if there was one thing, if I had to narrow it down to one thing that I'm concerned about, it's that.
Yeah. Well said, brother. I mean, I agree with you. Now, I think mental health for first responders, you know, has always been, a top priority, but I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's at a critical stage right now, especially with all that's going on. And the one thing I always tell people, Adam, and maybe I'm just naive, I think a lot of people out there, I think the majority of people support law enforcement. They're just too afraid to say anything right now, which is not a good excuse. But I think, you know, our first responders out there, they see all the negative press all the time, and it just weighs heavy on them. And like you said, it just, you know, it snowballs, man. And it's like, shit, nobody cares about me. We're locked down. Like you said, I can't do anything. Like I'm just going to sit at home and I'm going to fucking drink on my days off, which is not a good outlet. But I agree with you 110%, brother. Mental health. And I know that's one of the missions of the summit, was to support mental health, PTSD awareness for first responders. But I mean, I agree with you, man. It's all the stuff. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. And I know the country has gone through, you know, just terrible periods, the United States. But this war on police now that we're seeing, again, not by everybody. I still think a lot of people out there, but, you know, these people that are constantly getting the TV shined on them and F the police and death to all cops. Yeah. It's just weighing heavily on anybody. I always ask, Adam, I mean, what person, and thank God that there's brave men and women out there still serving and put on the uniform every day and go to work, put everything on the line. But if you're a 22-year-old kid, you know, thank God they're still coming to law enforcement, that they're not coming like they used to, but shit, why would you join? You know, why would you become a cop now? And I hate to say that, but I think that's the reality with a lot of people. And in turn, we're going to lose a lot of good people or miss out on a lot of good people coming into the profession. But if you're out there, it's still a very noble profession. You just can't believe everything you hear.
Two points on that real quickly. One, it's kind of a cascading effect that I don't think the general public realizes what they're subscribing to, in the fact that with all of this absolutely negative, they want what the public wants. And I agree with them. We need a better standard of
absolutely.
Policing.
Absolutely.
100%. And that's the thing. We need a better standard, but here's what you're doing. You're creating a society in which this profession, nobody wants to be a part of. So instead of getting the cream of the crop, the people that have, you know, third, fourth generation law enforcement, I've talked to people that are like third and fourth generation, and they're like, I am not letting my child join. Mm-hmm. And there's your issue. It's you have people that are willing, are able, and would be perfect candidates for service in law enforcement, And they're going to bypass this because of the negative belief that everybody has of law enforcement right now. And so what are you going to get? Well, you're going to be getting a lower quality of recruit coming in, right? I'm sure there's still going to be great recruits, but as a whole, you're going to have a lower quality product.
Because the standards are going to drop.
And standards are going to drop. And do you think that's going to make better police officers or worse police officers? Yeah. And it's going to be the cyclical pattern. And it's funny that people can't see that, like 30,000 foot view. You know, it's it's like, why? Anyways, I don't want to, I go down the rabbit hole in that one for forever. But that's frustrating. But to what, but the other point that I wanted to make was, and here's the silver lining that I think people need to hold on to on this one. I'm up here in Canada. So I see things a little bit differently than you guys do in the States. Depending on what side of the aisle you're on down there, you may follow certain news outlets. And a lot of your news outlets are very politically charged, and you guys are in the middle of an election season right now, which makes it 1,000 times worse. And it's funny looking at it from the outside because the media is so, I don't know if clickbait is the correct word to use in this term in this situation, but they're looking for responses from the public. They want people to buy into what they're selling. And right now, anti-police is the selling, that's what's selling the hottest right now. Mm-hmm. And so when I watch the news, it doesn't matter if it's Fox, if it's CNN, if it's CNBC, if it's whatever it is down there, it's all the same stuff. And the problem is this, there is support for law enforcement in the US. And if you follow independent news outlets that are not from the United States, that actually report on things happening in the United States, you will see that there are a ton of back the blue rallies happening. There's a ton of support for law enforcement. And there's polls that are out there that show that overwhelmingly the American public supports the police. But the problem is like you had said, the news is all saying, well, everybody wants to disband the police. And, you know, it's all about this Black Lives Matter movement. Well, that's because that's what's selling.
Exactly.
They're advertising spots. That's what's selling everything. That's how they're making money. And, you know, it was funny. I got off the call with a chief, I believe it was South Carolina, and they had hosted a rally that where the police department and a few of the local other departments got together and they rallied and they had a march for Black Lives Matter. So they were marching for the same cause that all of the protesters were marching for, saying, we support, you know, change in policing. We support that there are issues here and we want to work with you to fix them. And so it was this massively supported rally, right? Zero news outlets showed up to cover it. Zero.
Because it didn't serve an agenda.
Because it didn't fit into their narrative. So that's the silver line. As shitty as it is, you have to see that as a silver lining if you're in this profession. It's that there is support there for you. Don't buy into what you see in the media because it's not accurate. It's not an accurate representation of the public as a whole. It is one very specific group and they're doing it for a reason. And if you don't understand that, just turn off the TV, man.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said, brother. I mean, TV. And I like what you said, Adam. Seek out, you know, do a little research. Don't believe the first thing that comes up in your feed. You know, like you said, 100%. There's people out there, tons of people that support law enforcement. You just have to research it. I mean, look for it. It's out there. Just don't believe the first thing that you see or hear. I think in a lot of ways, you know, at least in the United States, you know, we have that just kind of follow the lemmings mentality. Well, you know, I'm going to hate the cops because this guy over here says, you know, they suck. So I got to believe what he says. And I think we have a lot of that going on in the United States, but it comes down to just educating yourself, you know? Educate yourself. What are you going to do without the police? The obvious question, who are you going to replace it with? Well, you know, we just need to get rid of them.
Did you see the thing that just came out today? I just saw it in my feed earlier today in Minneapolis.
Oh, no. They were the hotspot, obviously. They're the ones that want to dismantle the police.
And I don't want to misquote this, so please forgive me if this isn't exactly what it was said, but essentially, this is the gist of it. One of the district commanders stated to the community, they sent something, some type of release or something, mm-hmm. that said, you should listen to the criminals. If they're asking for your
I think
wallet,
I saw that.
If they're asking for your keys, just give it to them. Listen to the criminals.
Give me your cell phone.
And your cell phone. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I can't.
I saw
that.
I did
comprehend the absolute lack of leadership and competency in that decision. It's mind-boggling to me that there's so much pressure politically that people are making these decisions that are going to cause such a detriment to that community for an extended period of time. Like, these aren't decisions that are going to be flipped on and off. Like, we'll try it this week. Nope, didn't work. Turn it off. We're back to normal. Like, that's not how this game works. Yep. You make a decision, you change it up, and it could be months or years before that gets back to baseline. And
look at New York City. New York City was one of the safest cities in the country not too long ago, Adam. Now it is, crime is skyrocketing. And you made an excellent point. It's not a switch you can flip on and off. It's going to take a long time for crime to go down in New York City and to get back to a low homicide rate, low crime rate. They always have a lot of crime, but nothing compared to what we're seeing now, where just homicides are through up 200-something%. And why is that? It's a lack of leadership.
And New York, I mean, you look at those units that they took off the street, right? Those criminal intelligence units. It's not like that stuff comes easy. And it's not like they can just go in and pick back up where they left off. You know, like a lot of those officers and units have to go back in and start from scratch.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but it's not funny at the same time, is how just people don't understand the ramifications of the decisions that were made.
And people don't understand too, very well said, people don't understand that, okay, well, that's just in New York City or it's in Minneapolis. This has a ripple effect. It's like throwing a pebble into a pond. This will spread. You know, it's not like, well, I just live in a small town in Colorado. It's not really going to affect me. Oh, the hell it will. Well, if we don't get a hold of this, it's going to spread like wildfire. And it's going to affect every municipality in the country in some way, shape, or form. Gone are the days where, well, it just happens in NYC. You know, it doesn't affect us. That's bullshit, especially in law enforcement. I remember Rodney King, and we felt the effects of that for years. You know, and so I agree with you, brother. We need to, I don't know what the answer is, but I think education is a big part of it. And taking care of our resources we have right now, i.e. our people in law enforcement, making sure they're getting the best care, mental health care that they can get in order to keep them around. We already have a serious problem with retention in this country. I mean, it's going to be scary to think about what it's going to be like in the next year or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, rolling back around to the purpose of what we put the summit on for, it's, people have access to the top trainers in the world. And we talk a lot about, like I said, mental health and resiliency. We talk a lot about that last day, the one that you're a part of, is all leadership. And it's all about what can we do, not just from the perspective of a chief or a command level officer, but as individuals, as that rookie patrol officer all the way up, there's choices that each one person can make. That are going to positively affect the outcome of not only their lives and their agency, but for everybody, you know. And I think that's a super important thing. And to go back to what you said, learning and just taking notice that there's people out there that are willing to help, that are willing to put everything aside. And I mean, look at this. We had 45 of the top instructors in the world, people that, like we had talked about, charge tens of thousands of dollars just to go to speak at a conference, and you're getting access to them for free, right? Well, not free now, but I mean, if you look at it, you're paying about $2 per person to listen to them. So, I mean, a pretty good discount. And I think that's the biggest thing. And that was one of the things that when I had my little keynote there in the summit is that I wanted to make people understand is that we want you to learn continuously. We want you to get outside of your bubble, like get outside of the box and listen to other perspectives, right? I think that's the biggest thing is we have to get outside of ourselves and listen to maybe somebody else's opinions. And not because you have to, I'm not saying go and agree with somebody else's opinions. What I'm saying is take someone else's opinions and let it help shape your own thoughts and how you create arguments for what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we teach debate. When you teach debate, what's the first rule? Learn the opposition side. Learn it back to front so that whatever they come up with for a point or a counterpoint, you have a rebuttal to that point. And sometimes in researching the opposing argument, you'll find that maybe there are some things that you can improve out of your own. Mm-hmm. And why aren't we teaching that to people? Why aren't we saying it's okay to question things sometimes, right? I'm not telling you if you're in basic or you're going through the academy to question your DI. That's not what I'm telling you to do because that's a bad idea.
Bad. It's bad.
Bad idea. But what I'm saying is don't take every word at face value. Understand the meaning behind it. Or if you don't understand the meaning, ask why. Why are we doing this? Can you give me more context? Because if you understand the core purpose of what you're doing, everything else is going to become that much more clear. And so with the summit again, that's what we hope to do. And there isn't a lot of really, like we don't get into a lot of technical things in the summit. A lot of it's higher level, but it's done that we do that on purpose. Like that was deliberate. That was planned. And it was because we want people to start thinking in a certain way to help them when they take training through their agency or department, it gives them those extra tools in the toolbox to understand the context behind the training that they're taking. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's so much value there. I just really hope that everybody gets the chance to take a look at it and to see it. Yeah, we'll see where it goes, man. Like I said, this is the first one. We're going to be rolling this out every year. This is going to be an annual thing, and hopefully we can help some people out.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Talk about the All Access Pass real quick.
Yeah, so real simply, and here's what I want to do too. So the All Access Pass, I'll talk about this in two quick points. One, if you want to get access to this summit, all 75 hours of content, plus access, if you get on it right away, to all of the live Q&As and roundtables, which will be saved so you can access them afterwards anyways. Audio only content. So if you like listening to podcasts, there'll be the podcast version of all the sessions. There's going to be downloadable content and resources. Right now we have somebody putting together training plans on every single one of the sessions. So it's like a 1 or 2 page PDF document that you can take and use as a training reference. Lots of stuff that's going to be available for this. And all that we're asking is the price on this is $119 US. And all of the profit from that is still going to continue to go to charity to support mental health and awareness for law enforcement and first responders. And because we wanted to make it as accessible as possible, we also have a 12-month payment plan. So over 12 months, you can pay $10 a month and have access to the exact same access as everyone else. It's just split up over 12 months to make it easier and more affordable. And with that, everybody who joins up now until the next summit, every summit and training event that we host between now and the next 2021 ILET summit, you're going to have access to all of those for free as well. Wow. So there's another $500-$600 worth of summit fees that you're not going to have to pay. What else can I do for you, man? How about this? How about every one of the listeners here listening to this, I'll give you a promo code, and I'll give it to Pat so we can put it in the show notes, but it'll be Evolve50, and I'll give you 50% off. If you pay that one time, $120, I'll cover the 50%, and the rest of it is going to go to charity. So, 50% off of that for everybody who listens to this podcast.
Amazing. Adam Kanakin, brother, much success to you. Any help you need, again, please reach out to me. Where can people find you, brother? And again, the website to International Law Enforcement Training Summit. Where can people find Adam, the summit, all your information?
Yeah, thanks, brother. First of all, man, it's always an honor. You were one of the first people ever to get me started on this path with the podcast, and you've been so supportive. So just thank you again for everything you do. And
welcome, brother. Anything you need.
To get a hold of me, real simply, if you want to check out the summit, it's ILETsummit.com. And if you want to check out the podcast, it's thebreakdown.ca. Obviously CA because I'm up here in Canada, but thebreakdown.ca, and it'll also have links to the summit and everything in there. So they're kind of co-branded. You can jump back and forth between the two, and my contact information is all over there. So you can reach me on either of those sites.
And everything will be linked up in the show notes. Adam Kanakin, brother, always a pleasure. Again, much success to you going forward, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.